Grace, mercy, and peace are yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. The word of God for our consideration this morning are the words of the psalm appointed for this Sunday, Psalm 146. I'm going to read the psalm from the New International Version from 1984. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, my soul. I will praise the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. Do not put your trust in princes, in mortal men who cannot save. When their spirit departs, they return to the ground. On that very day, their plans come to nothing. Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, the maker of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them, the Lord, who remains faithful forever. He upholds the cause of the oppressed and gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets prisoners free. The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the alien and sustains the fatherless and the widow. But he frustrates the ways of the wicked. The Lord reigns forever. Your God, O Zion, for all generations. Praise the Lord. This is the word of our God. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, did you ever have to make a decision between two things and you just couldn't decide which one was better? You know, maybe, do I feel like chocolate or vanilla today? Or should we have pork chops or chicken for supper? Or maybe you were kind of a good athlete in school, and then spring rolled around, and you had to decide, am I going to go out for baseball or go out for track? Or maybe you're in your freshman year in college, and you realize it's time for me to get a little more focused on what my major is going to be. But you say, I like calculus just as much as I like English literature. Well, we all face choices in life. Sometimes they're big, sometimes they're little. And sometimes they're either-or choices. You know, if you choose one thing, you definitely can't have the other. Well, we got sort of a dilemma like that in the words of our psalm for today that I just read, Psalm 146. You know, I read it a moment ago. You might have noticed maybe a change in emphasis between verses 5 and 6. I'm sorry, 6 and 7. You know, in the first six verses of this psalm, the psalmist, he talks about God's almighty power and his majesty. But then in verse 7, to the end, he switches the focus to how God cares for the smallest and the weakest and the most needy of all his creatures. So that leads us to ask a question. I'm going to take this question as our theme for today. What is it that you like best about God? What do you like best about God? Is it how he rules over his creation from on high? Or is it how he cares for his creatures down below? The psalm begins, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. But then it goes on, do not put your trust in princes, in mortal men who cannot save. By princes, it means the rich and powerful, people who can do big favors for other people. Now, you know, but then it tells us we shouldn't put our trust in them. Why not? Because it says they are mortal men. They're sons of Adam and Eve, just like you and me and all of us. And we know what that means. We know what the Lord said to Adam after he fell into sin with his wife. By the sweat of your brow you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken. For dust you are, and to dust you will return. You see, ultimately, we're all going to die, including the rich and the famous. And besides telling us we shouldn't trust in them because they're mortal, it goes on and says they cannot save. There's no salvation in them whatsoever. And no matter how rich the princes and the politicians and the presidents and the political parties are, they can't rescue us. When their spirit departs, they return to the ground. On that very day, their plans come to nothing. See, even the rich and powerful, eventually, they get old and weak and forgetful. And soon enough, all their wonderful plans and promises for how they're going to fix the world, they just go up in smoke. Eventually, they'll forget that they even had any plans. And then people will forget about them and just move on to somebody else. Well, this is certainly good information for us in our country today and all the political drama that's going on, right? You know, we're not in an election year, but you think we are because already the candidates have announced their candidacy and they're making their promises and their big plans for what they're going to do next year, the midterm election. Now, as Christians, we actually should take an interest in this. You remember learning in confirmation class that good government and pious and faithful rulers are a gift that comes from God. And that means if we have a country that allows us to participate in this process, we ought to exercise that right as faithful Christians. But it's really important for us to remember, regardless of where we are on that political spectrum, that the psalmist here is telling us we need to take, you know, we need to consider this whole matter of politics with a big grain of salt. We need to have a healthy skepticism for all these big people and their big promises. You see, no matter how strong our political views might be, we Christians should remember that politics never offers us a real solution to our real problems. There's a wonderful hymn that used to be in our last two hymnals that didn't make the cut into our new one. Otherwise, we'd have sung it this morning. And that hymn gives us a beautiful paraphrase of this psalm. It says, "Trust not in princes, they are but mortal. Earthborn they are and soon decay. Vain are their counsels at life's last portal, when the dark grave will claim its prey. Since then, no one can help afford. Trust only Christ, our God and Lord." Hallelujah. And so the psalmist continues. He says, "Blessed is he whose help is in the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, the maker of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them, the Lord who remains faithful forever." You know, the God of Jacob exercised his almighty power by making the whole universe and everything in it. And at the end of his work of creation, he looked at it and he declared it was very good. The God of Jacob remained faithful to his creatures even when they were not faithful to him. He promised to send them a Savior to rescue them from the curse they brought upon all of creation by their sin. God showed his power to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob by making them into a great nation, by giving Jacob's descendant descendants that land that he had promised to give to them. He remained faithful to them through times of bad kings and bad behavior and unfaithfulness to their promises to him. So, what is it we like best about our God? Is it how he rules over his whole creation from on high? Well, he certainly does that. But the psalm goes on to give us something else to be thankful to God for. And that's how he cares for his creatures down below. You know, parents love and care for their children. But what is it that parents want most in their children when they finally grow up? Do they want them to be financially successful? Do they want them to become powerful, important people? If they're Christian parents, of course, most of all, what they want is for their children to grow up to be Christian adults, people who recognize and confess their sin and trust in their Savior who's taken all their sins away and promised them everlasting life. But there's something else. Christian parents want their children also to grow up to be good people, with kind hearts, who are patient and helpful with other people instead of, you know, just always looking out just for themselves, first of all and foremost. And isn't that also what we like best about our God? That's what the psalmist focuses on here in the second part of the psalm. In verse 7, he praises the Lord because he upholds the cause of the oppressed and gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets prisoners free. The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the alien and sustains the fatherless and the widow. The Lord reigns forever. Your God, O Zion, for all generations. Praise the Lord. You know, it's not surprising to think of God as big and powerful and almighty. I mean, finally, that's part of what the word God means. But what the psalmist also praised the Lord for is how he cared for his creatures down here below. And we, of course, see that best and most of all in the person of our Savior, in Jesus. God himself came down here into his world and became a part of his creation, taking on real human flesh and blood. And he entered into his own world, the world that he created and still sustains and cares for. And now listen to how Jesus described himself when he preached at the synagogue in his hometown of Nazareth. You'll notice that it sounds a lot like the words of our psalm. On the Sabbath day, Jesus went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it's written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom to the prisoners and recovery of sight to the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began by saying to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." You know, that day, and every single day of his life in this world, Jesus showed mercy and compassion. He healed people. He cared for the least and the lowest and the lost. While the high and mighty, for the most part, they didn't care about Jesus whatsoever. Jesus took care of people's physical problems, to be sure, but we know his number one reason for coming into this world was to take care of our biggest problem, the problem of our sin. Jesus said he came to seek and to save that which was lost. He did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus came to substitute himself for us under God's law and keep all those commandments perfectly, which we haven't and we couldn't keep. And Jesus came to substitute himself for us under God's wrath and pay in full the punishment that every one of us richly deserved for all the sins that we've committed against him. And now he offers us free forgiveness and eternal life for everyone who simply trusts in him. Our text reminds us how Jesus always showed love and concern for the weak and the powerless, the young, the elderly, the poor, the sick, and the needy. And how did Jesus treat them? Well, you know the account. He lifted up the little children in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. Jesus always showed honor and respect toward people who were older than he was. And that's not just when he was that 12-year-old boy in the temple. That's throughout his life. He spent his time among those who had leprosy, who were blind and deaf, the widows and the fatherless, with those who were outcast, the tax collectors and sinners, the people who everybody hated. Those are the people that Jesus loved, and he sought them out, and he spent time with them. He gave them himself and all of his blessings. As somebody once said, God so loved the world, he didn't send a committee. He came himself. So let's go back to that question we started with. What is it that we love most about our God? Is it his might and his power and his unchanging dependableness and faithfulness? Or is what we like about God his mercy, his patience, his love, how he came down to share our humanity and to rescue us all from our sins? Well, here's the good news, friends. We don't have to choose. We get both. Thank God that we have a God who is limitless in his power, but he's also a God who set aside all that almighty power so that he could rescue us poor sinners from the consequences of our sin and take us and all who trust in him to live with him forever in paradise. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.